This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Welcome back to Grant and Danny live from just outside the Anthem and the Brighton, where we are near the red carpet for the Nationals Gala. Excited to be joined by players, dignitaries, members of the staff as the night goes on. Players will start walking the red carpet right at about 5 o'clock today, so make sure you're listening on Grant and Danny. It is my daughter's fifth birthday. She got all dolled up to come out to the event tonight.
Oh, she is a princess. Look at this.
And look at this. Screech is walking her down the red carpet.
Perfect.
Perfect. Let's go, Screech.
That's perfect.
We love to see it. Things you love to see. I've already gotten with Screech on the side and talked to him.
Yeah.
And said I need him to come over here and mess with you at some point. It'll be the second annual time. I don't know if you remember last year, Danny.
Sure do.
He came over. I got him to mess with you and ruffle your hair. You were livid. Absolutely irate. It's one of my favorite moments we've ever had on the show. So I've talked to him. He's going to come over at some point and ruin your day.
Okay.
So don't you worry about that. We've already had the conversation.
So don't be concerned about it, I suppose?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Your wife, I think, texted me last year. She was a big fan of it. Yeah. You were not, though.
She thought it was so funny. Yeah, it made one of us, I suppose. Always love to be supportive.
You hate Screech bits. I'm a Screech guy.
Yeah. I like sports, man. I don't need a mascot. I'm not a child.
You should be a mascot guy.
Nah.
They're the best.
They're just people inside of hot costumes. You know?
Here's the first hint. You ready?
Oh, yeah.
Who am I?
Okay.
Three hints this hour.
Let's see if I can get this.
The three hints will lead up to one Washington Nationals player. If you can name the player after the third hint, first caller in, you're going to win opening day tickets. Hint number one, I am a pitcher.
You're a pitcher?
I am a pitcher.
Okay.
After three hints... Only okay. Have one available national to satisfy the requirement for Who Am I on Grant and Danny. By the way, your Spencer Carberry impression has come so far.
I've been working on it.
Are you ready to unveil it on the radio?
I think I could do it.
So
I
will
I could
be
do it for you guys.
I will be intrepid reporter in this
right.
skit.
Okay.
And I'm going to ask you, Carbs, head coach of the Washington Capitals, about the big game tonight. If you guys win, Money Puck says – you're going to have a 76% chance to make the playoffs. Just how big of a deal is getting the 2 points tonight against Detroit?
Well, obviously, it's, we've been working so hard. And, a nice reward for it for the guys would be to get 2 points. But that's not our focus right now. We make sure that we just try to play our brand of hockey every day, every time out, every shift. And we boil it down to small minutia like that. Guys like and Lappy have kind of come in and given us a jolt, and obviously it's been rewarding here. So obviously we'd like to win the hockey game, but we're more emphasize kind of the detail oriented approach. Yeah,
very well done. So when did you feel like you got there with Carbs? Because about a month ago,
it was
you
horrendous.
Weren't ready to go on the air yet.
Yeah, previously when Danny was trying to do this, it sounded like a Canadian person that had just been in a car wreck. And it was not up to snuff, but it's every once in a while there are certain anchor words that allow you to kind of get into the impression a bit more. So it's like you got to be able to take certain times where you're emphasizing.
That's what it is.
That's what it is.
That's certain, yep. Like where yep. You just dropped. It's the word where he kind of gets into it. That's what wins it over for me.
That's what it's sort of about is like that kind of thing. That little bit of gravel on some of his when he's with the Junks. He's like, that's a great question, JP. You know what I mean? Like he's got a.
Dare I say this though?
Mm-hmm.
I think your carbs better than your Josh Harris, and I love your Josh Harris. I think your carbs is elite.
Wow.
2080 scouting scale, 50s average, 80s Hall of Fame.
Okay.
That's a 70 carbs.
I feel like it's a 60 carbs. I think my Harris is 65.
You're going to probably.
No, I'm not upset with
you're
going to
get in your own feelings.
No,
I think your Josh Harris is. You're going to be so bothered. I love it. I'm going to preface this.
You don't sound like you love it.
I love it. It's more of a character than an impression.
Well, that's what you would characterize something that you don't love. So I'm sort of thinking
about that. I'm saying 60 Josh Harris,
wow.
70 carbs.
Well, you know, it obviously is like a little bit disrespectful to say it like it's that low of a number, but you know, we're just happy to buy everyone a beer. Yeah, I mean, to me,
you think your Josh Harris is better than your carbs?
I do. I mean, listen, I'm flattered either way that people can tolerate it, but it's in my own head, that sounds closer. I feel like I'm doing a Carberry. A bit of a caricature, you know, like that kind of thing where you have to enunciate a lot of words like that, you know?
I think if I just turned on the radio right at the moment where you were talking,
where
I think Carbs was on with us pregame, whereas Josh Harris, I'd be like, oh, Danny's doing a good
Danny's
Josh
doing
Harris
bits, yeah. All right, well, I'll post a poll. At Funny Danny on Elon's app.
At Funny Danny on the X.
Which impresh do you prefer? Josh Harris, Yosh Harris, or Carbs?
And also post a poll as to whether or not I should call over the presidents or just screech. How many times do we want to interrupt the show with them trolling Danny?
Okay.
Here's what we should get to, though, next, as far as NFL news today. Owners approved a massive revamp of the kickoff. They did that today at the league meetings in Orlando. They discussed this for 3 days. A format that originated in the XFL has been approved. The proposal passed by a vote, Danny, of 29-3.
Who are the three? I always want to know.
I want to know as well.
Who objected?
I love this for a couple of reasons. Number one, as an XFL mark, I thought the kickoff rule that they had was fantastic. You know what's amazing about this? Do you know that this kickoff is not even in the UFL? They got rid of it.
That's what's so wild to me.
The XFL did not keep their kickoff. Now, that's a merged league where the United Football League bosses are basically running the football element, Daryl Moose Johnston among them. And they have decided to go away from the XFL kickoff, which is hilarious because the NFL is taking their kickoff and the XFL, now with the United Football League, is moving on from it. But the proposal needs a 24-8 vote. This one went 29-3, so it passed. The new alignment rules. You ready for this?
Uh-huh.
The most significant on-field change for the NFL on any play and how things get aligned at any point in years. The whole point of this is to try to have more kickoffs returned. Instead of the touchbacks that had become prevalent, guys just going out there for a meaningless play, putting their arms at their sides, forming a human T at the goal line, ball end over end sailing over their head through the back of the end zone with the leg strength of these kickers. Now you're going to get actual returns, which I think is a really healthy, good thing. During the 2024 season, kickers will continue to kick from the 35-yard line. The difference is that the 10 players covering the kick on special teams will line up across the 50 at the receiving team's 40-yard line.
Mm-hmm.
At least 9 members of the return team will line up in what they call a setup zone between the 35 and 30-yard lines. So you've got 9 of your guys, and it can be upwards of 10 if you want, lined up basically one-to-one facing the coverage team. You can have 2 deep return men or 1, up to you. That's why 9 versus 10 is kind of to be determined as far as who's in the line blocking one-on-one. They're about 5 yards apart. It could be as much as 7 or 8 yards apart. They come together rather than at full speed. The collisions are a little bit weaker. Less contact, less head-to-head issues.
It's the best of all of it.
Less injuries. And with the one-on-one blocking, what we saw in the XFL was actual returns and a lot of big returns as well. The big change was that originally in the XFL, you bring the ball out on a touchback to the 35-yard line. And the National Football League, before they even put it to a vote, said that's a little extreme. Let's make it the 30. So the difference of a touchback, if you want to just continue to kick the ball through the end zone, first and 10 at the 30. I'm old enough to remember, like you are, when it was first and 10 at the 20.
100%.
Last several years, it's been the 25. Now a touchback goes to the 30.
So I would have kept it at the 35, but I think we'll eventually get there.
Just the extremeness of forcing returns.
Yes, but there's a lot of nuance to this that I think it's important. The number one objection to this is that it looks weird. That's not good enough for an objection. All it takes is you to see it a couple times, and it becomes way more intuitive. The kicking team doesn't move, so there's no running start, there's no wedge buster, there's no like flying headbutt, none of that stuff. They don't move until the ball is touched. That's the key part by the receiving team. That's the most important part of it. So it looks weird at first. You get used to it very quickly. That's number one.
I am worried about that though. Are you? I mean, it looks
weird.
So arcade. And just like
it looks
fake
like
football.
Yeah, it looks like NFL Blitz or something like that.
But I just hope people give it a chance.
It'll take a couple of minutes when you don't have to go to the bathroom every time there's a touchdown.
Yeah.
Because you know you've got 10 minutes before the next play happens.
True.
So now you've got exciting football.
Can there be such a thing as too many big returns? I saw someone was talking about this and asking different executives at the league meetings. One of the fears they have is that there could be a bunch of huge plays, returns past the 50. To me...
Oh, well, sorry.
So what? I mean, okay.
Yeah, we took a play that had zero action and got a bunch of action. Sign me up immediately. That's number one. Number two, though, the solution that a lot of folks had was why not just back the ball up and have kickers kick it from the 25 because everyone's legs are so strong. The answer is it doesn't solve the 1A that they want to solve, which is running start for kicking team, flying in and causing injuries like it used to be. Okay, that's the thing they want to get rid of as well, in addition to adding returns. This is the best of both worlds. It's far more of a football play with a strange start. The instant the return man catches it, it's going to look like kick returns in football again.
Right.
It's the initial alignment is weird. You'll get over that very quickly. I did. I mean, I go, this is so goofy. This is so stupid. I saw it twice and went, okay, fine.
Same.
I'm ready to
Same
go.
Same thing. I remember the first time I watched one of these XFL games with that alignment, especially on TV. In person, right away, you're kind of watching and it's kind of strange, but you see the return. On TV, it's very, very quirky because the kicker's all by himself and just an odd thing. But it took me maybe a game, and I was all in on the return.
Mm-hmm.
Because it brings something back that was significant when you and I were growing up.
Yes.
Brian Mitchell was my favorite player in 1999 with the Washington Redskins at the time. He was basically, at that point of his career, almost exclusively a return man. He would get a little work in the backfield, but they had Skip Hicks and Steven Davis. He made plays. He helped the team. He was an impact performer. He was a Hall of Fame talent who did a lot of things for them. And now guys like him are being taken out of the game almost entirely. I saw this stat today, too. So if you take the 8 teams from the XFL and the 32 teams in the NFL, and you look at how many returns per game each one had, did you see this stat?
Mm-mm.
It's pretty interesting. So 40 teams, returns per game this past year in football. 1 through 8 are the 8 XFL teams.
Huh.
9 through 40 are all of the NFL teams. The numbers are Orlando of the XFL, 5.6 returns a game. Vegas, 4.6. DC, the Defenders, 4.4. San Antonio, 4.1. Seattle XFL, 4.0. St. Louis XFL, 3.9. Arlington XFL, 3.9. Houston, 3.6 XFL. The first NFL team, 1.8. returns per game.
1.8.
This will lead to returns. So if you don't like it because it looks different, I don't really know what to say other than I'm sorry that they're going to do something different to take what has become a irrelevant play that provides nothing and change that so that it's a good football play again. They did this with extra points, and I do remember pushback.
Yeah.
People said, you're moving the extra point back 33 yards? Well, that's stupid. That's still a chip shot. Nobody's going to miss that. Well, now, guys occasionally miss. I would move it back another 5 or 10 yards. I still think you could do that and make it more of a 50-50 proposition. But I think they like the idea of the round sevens for scores more often than sixes. So it's a 33-yard extra point. But you don't hear anybody complaining about that anymore, do you?
No, it took a little bit. I mean, to me, the complaint is that it's a kick. less so than it is a little bit further distance, right? So, yeah, what they wanted was that it was automatic before. They wanted to eliminate the automation, which they did, so goal achieved. This, to me, is like the quintessential football play. This is like the origins of the sport here. You know, like a zone flooding concept of three receivers starting on one side and baiting the hook player. That's not what football was in the beginning. This is what football was. The origins coming from rugby, like back in the day, was one guy with a wall of people in front of him trying to advance as far as he could. Like, that's how the sport was founded. And you're getting back to that, which is awesome for me. Like, the kick return was the most fundamental football play, and now we've got it. It involves every element of football with the exception of the forward pass. It's perfect. I'm so excited about this.
Do you have any concerns about changing this kickoff rule? Whether it's just specific to this change or opening the door to something that looks way, way different. Because that's the one reservation I guess I would have is this is going to be a jarring change, and it was 29-3.
Yep.
I fully expected maybe a year where this didn't go through, or then a year where it was right on the deadline. But the fact that it was almost unanimous, essentially, you've got – there's a lot of ownership changes the last several years. I mean, there is a new guard coming in. It's funny for me to say, but I don't necessarily want a lot of major sweeping changes where the game looks very, very different. And the fact that this is 29-3, while I'm excited and I happen to love the XFL way, I don't necessarily want the norm to be experimenting for a year with jarring changes, because that's what they're doing. They basically have signed off on this for 1 year. And they're going to revisit it. I think it's going to stay, and people are going to love it.
I hope it does. So I'll try to offer an example. I still think there's been more of my time in my life where this has been the case versus not, which is to say that it used to be a receiver would jump up in the air to catch the ball. And if the defender pushed him out of bounds, they would say, well, he might have come down in bounds. So we're going to give him the catch. That used to be the way the league was. And that's how we got used to it. And then they changed that. No, you actually have to, you can't punish defenders that badly. You actually have to have 2 feet in bounds. So once they did that, it became this big, huge change, and it was sweeping, and everyone's like, oh my God, what's it going to be like? What's it going to be like? And it was fine, and nobody thinks about it anymore, right? That's the key to me.
What's the key to you? Danny's trying to make a getaway.
The key is that it takes a little bit of time.
And off the air. Screech is coming, and Danny is hauling butt away.
It takes
from
a little
table.
Bit of time for an adjustment.
He's coming
and
over.
It.
Here he comes. Just say hello.
Nope.
It's everybody's favorite mascot. It's Screech. Nationals fans love him. Screech, come over. This is the guy right here. He wanted to say hello to you. He's running away from you. Don't let him do that, man. Go get him.
He's trying to do the radio show. How are you, buddy? Good to see you. Yeah, what's happening? Now you're climbing up. Don't fall down. There's
you
cords and everything.
Play with his hair right. A little bit. Make sure. There it is.
There we go. Yep.
Maybe take out his pocket square. He won't be upset about that at all.
Yep.
Oh, he's putting on Screech's hat.
Yep.
Got a second annual. Danny is so upset. He's so angry. Screech, there's no one who gets angry. I don't know why, man. You're the best. You're in your tux and
you're
everything.
Right. Screech, you're nothing right.
I love Screech so much. Danny, Screech is your guy.
Screech is here. Screech caught my first pitch years ago. Yeah.
No. Oh, he kissed him.
Yeah.
Oh, Screech. Did you throw a strike to Screech?
Yeah, actually, it was probably a little up. But it was borderline. He could have stolen a strike if he'd really framed it up.
You got to frame it up.
It was pretty good.
He's on that K-Burt Ruiz plan. Yeah. He doesn't frame strikes very well. Thank you, Screech, for messing with our guy.
Thank you, Screech.
Second annual. We'll be back next year. We need you to mess with him again. Next on G&D, want to hear from you guys on the MGM National Harbor listener lines at 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. Are you down for the rule changes to the kickoff in the National Football League? Are you excited for the experimentation in the NFL on the kickoff rules? Also, go to 106.7 The Fan during this commercial break. We'll get those pictures posted of Screech and Danny for you. You'll see Screech doing bits and Danny being very upset. G&D on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
G&D on the Fan, the Nats welcome home gala this evening. At the Anthem, we are outside the Brighton next to the red carpet enjoying ourselves on a beautiful day in D.C. Are we still in peak cherry blossom mode? What do the local news stations say about
that? I don't
know
if it's peak or not. Everyone loves to tell me that peak is a certain time, and then we're in peak, we're almost to peak, we peaked earlier. I don't know.
Yesterday must have been peak, or Sunday. I was leaving the Caps game. I mean, you would have, Danny, there's never been more people sitting still staring in D.C., at the trees beside them than Sunday afternoon.
Can I tell you what I'm good on? I mean, just satiated, all set to the nth degree. Shtick about Stumpy.
Who's Stumpy?
Oh, man. If you don't have a file.
I've never heard of this.
Thank goodness for you. I don't know how you missed this, and you should be so grateful you did. Unfunny people going to this one particular cherry blossom that isn't as big and strong as the others. They named him Stumpy, and he's got some cherry blossoms like all the other cherry blossoms do. And just horribly unfunny people were, like, doing dances near it, and, like, taking pictures of it, fake crying next to it, doing all sorts of, like, very TikTok-y look-at-me planking-type crap. All the shtick awful.
I mean, I've...
All of it so bad.
I've not heard one word about this.
Yeah.
This was a big enough deal to annoy you? You saw this a lot of places?
Oh, my God. And people are like, would you... That's something! Horrible.
Is there one stumpy or are there lots of them?
No, there's a singular stumpy. So what they have to do is they have to remove a bunch of trees for some kind of reason. I didn't really pay attention because it's not that important, honestly. But everyone over talks about it. Like, so they had to do a thing where they removed them. And that's one of the ones that's getting removed, I guess. And everybody just could not stop doing stumpy things. Oh, just so unfunny.
All right, Money Metal Chris just handed me a picture. Someone brought stumpy flowers. So someone put flowers at the... Dude, I have not heard one word about this thing.
Good for you.
Kind of glad. It sounds...
Yeah, blissfully unaware of it. Just living your life. Carry on living your life.
Hint number two. Who am I? Nationals version this hour. Our final hint will come up next segment. When we give that third hint next segment, you can immediately start calling 800-636-1067 to win tickets to opening day. But you'll need all three hints to connect the dots. Hint number two, Danny. I helped the Nationals win a World Series.
Oh.
I helped the Nationals win a World Series.
Okay.
File that away.
All right.
You're now most of the way there. We've whittled most of the roster down.
A few ideas of who it could be.
If you've tracked these two hints at this point. Phones are open for you right now. MGM National Harbor Listener Lines. Want to know what you guys think about the major rule change coming to the National Football League. So you know this. I have wanted the kickoff change the last couple years pretty adamantly. This is near the top of my list. There's only a couple things that I want changed more than that. I feel great about this. What's next? What's the next thing do you think we have to change in the NFL?
Whew. There's a number of things that I could pick from in this regard. I will leave the worst rule in sports for you, and you can be Jon Snow fighting against the Army. Mine is this. Nobody on this earth has been adequately been able to explain to me properly why on a 3rd and 42, there's an illegal contact that's worth 5 yards, that's an automatic first down. Ridding the planet of the automatic first down. I understand if it's 3rd and 5, and a 5-yard penalty results in a first down, let it result in the first down. Of course. The automatic first down on an undeserved play that had nothing to do with the outcome or that leaves you, would have left you well short of the yardage. We just take it for granted. They're on a 3rd and 20, a 5-yard illegal contact penalty. Well, of course, the play would have resulted in 20-some yards, you know, because one or two plays a game do. No to that. The automatic first down must go. It must.
I like it. I'll sign up for that. You thought I was going to go with the fumble rule into the end zone.
You mean the worst rule in sports?
The worst rule in sports.
That's the one.
Not the worst legislated rule in sports. Yes. I would say that goaltender interference in hockey is actually worse than catch, no catch.
The anti-Capitals rule.
It's a very, very tough one. Although, you know, they won one. They got one on Yevgeny Kuznetsov, no less, in that 7-6 barn burner with the Hurricanes the other night, Friday evening. Kuzi was called for goaltender interference, by God.
It's because they thought he was still a Capital.
Is that what it was?
The only way it goes is against Washington. I'll stand by that.
So here's the one I'm going to go with. I don't know if I'm ever going to get this, because I'm not sure you can put the toothpaste back in the tube. Where are you at, Mr. Rouye, on finding a way for the defensive player who lands on the quarterback with his weight and doesn't, like, slide off or brace himself with his palms while somehow tackling a QB, not being a personal foul? I find that to be the most infuriating rule in the league when I'm watching games. The extremely normal, I beat my guy, I won one-on-one, I got through a double team, I'm getting home, I got the quarterback, I didn't hit him in the helmet, I didn't go low. You've already told me I can't go below basically the thigh pad. I can't go above the shoulders. So I've got a few-foot target here. I hit him clean. I'm driving him to the ground. It's a football play, and you flag me for the most innocuous, normal tackle since I was in Pee Wee football. And you tell me it's because I landed on him. Sir, madam, what would you like me to do? I'm tackling this grown adult. Some of these QBs now are pretty big. Check out the NFL draft when you see Drake May walking across the stage at 6'4", 240. You ever seen Cam Newton play?
That Josh Allen guy's bigger than a lot of the defensive ends.
I'm trying to get a quarterback to the ground who weighs 237 pounds. I'm not allowed to use my weight. I have to roll. I have to protect him by landing like some like high school wrestler, like bridged on top of him. It is the dumbest legislation in the league right now. I don't think you can put the toothpaste back in the tube on that, but my goodness, do I want that changed. I think that entire idea has been, if it was a good idea originally, maybe, I don't know, it's been botched by the officials. They are way overly sensitive about throwing flags on that.
Yeah, if there was the ability to enforce whatever that is consistently somehow, which I don't know that there is, I could maybe see it, but no, that's not even true. I can't even see it then. I would say it's still dumb, but at least I could live with it. As it stands, you don't know. Like, you tackle the quarterback, you're doing everything you can to try to grab a hold or get him to the ground, et cetera, but the way you landed or he landed, now all of a sudden it's a penalty. You're right. It's asinine. It's stupid. I'd love to rid the league of that.
100%. I'll give you one more. Why can't you challenge anything? I want to be able to challenge pass interference. I want to be able to challenge that a guy was lined up offside. If you're giving me a couple flags a game, just let me use them when you screw something up. What am I missing here?
You
can't challenge that. You can only No. I've got two challenges. Leave me alone. If I get both, give me a third. Now they're actually going to let you get
have a third, yeah.
A new third if you hit any of the two. But you should be able – you just screwed up pass interference. I see it and you see it on the big screen. I want to throw that flag.
Well, the New Orleans Saints rule, they tried to let you challenge pass interference for a year. And I don't have the numbers in front of me. But I'd be surprised if more than two or three got overturned the entire season. They just said, we'll let you do it. Go ahead and waste your challenge, stupid. Go ahead and throw your money away. Light it on fire. I just don't think those will get overturned in practicality. You're right in principle, 100%, where you go, this was obviously not a late hit, or this guy was obviously out of bounds and you didn't call it, or whatever, right?
This guy lined up offside. Yeah. This guy jumped early. This tackle moved.
100% it should be. They won't. I think they won't do that. For some reason. I don't know what the reason is. It's not good enough to not have it. But the application of it, I remember there was a year where you could challenge pass interference, and we went to the monitor. You're not going to believe this.
Well,
the call stands.
It was like reviewed or something,
yeah.
Right? I don't remember the machinations of how it got reviewed. But, yeah, the math was essentially that they weren't overturning it anyway. But NFL meetings ongoing in Orlando. Rule changes continue to come down. We'll pass along any more news that comes out of the league meetings as we hear it. One other thing that we haven't gotten to on a football front before we pivot next. The National Football League, when they had their Christmas Day games this past year, remember, they were asked, hey, next year Christmas is on a Wednesday. You guys wouldn't possibly have games on a Wednesday, right? And they basically said, they didn't say anything set in stone. They said, no, probably not. Now, it's different. It's Thursday. We could pull it off, whatever it was. Wednesday, smack dab, middle of the week, game that we've never had NFL games. They will have two Christmas Day games this year, despite it being on Wednesday. I think it was a foregone conclusion. The TV ratings were too good. The TV ratings were so astronomical, so unbelievable, that there was no way the NFL was going to miss out on that gravy train.
That's right.
So they have said, this is the same league that yesterday changed the hip drop swivel tackle for, you know, player safety, and we don't want anybody getting hurt. The way they're going to try to cushion the blow for the teams that are now playing a Wednesday game is that they're going to take part, the same four teams, it'll be two games, will play on a Saturday doubleheader. So I'm guessing it might be division matchups or something, where the previous Saturday, Team A plays Team D, Team B plays Team C, let's say.
Okay.
And then you fast forward to Wednesday, A plays B, C plays D. Four teams, different matchup, not two times playing the same team in 4 days.
Just try to line the calendar up a little bit better.
Yeah, so that way you have Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday off, and now it's no different than Sunday into Thursday,
which
I guess.
Which isn't good either, but I guess. I mean, to me, I don't know why. Well, I do know why. They just don't want to elongate it. But to me, it should be very simple. You get a bye week, and then you play on a Thursday. Then you get a second bye week. I would never have a Sunday into Thursday if I could possibly help it. But they don't seem to care about that.
Well, there's no way to not
keep the
that.
Thursdays. I'm all in favor of the Thursdays, but I would add a bye week so that you don't play Sunday afternoon or Sunday evening, then have to have the short turnaround into Thursday. But I guess now that you start doing the math with a Wednesday game because it's special because of Christmas, I don't know. But, yeah.
But now we have Sundays, Mondays, Thursdays. We're having a Friday night game.
And the Black Friday games.
To kick off the season with the Eagles and Black Friday games. So that's two Fridays. We have a Wednesday doubleheader on Christmas, special for the holiday, obviously. Basically, the only thing keeping the NFL from just going all on 7 days a week is federal law. You know, I'm not even
right,
joking.
Seriously.
Like, that's not a bit.
Yeah.
I mean, they really, Danny, they're just putting their flag in the ground and saying, stop us. We stole Sunday. It's ours now. Saturday's college footballs, they are slowly cranking up Saturdays more and more into December as the years go on. If they want that, they'll take it too. But I think they're just saying stop us. And the only thing on the books is that high school football is played on Friday nights. You're not allowed to have a Friday night game after 3 p.m. or whatever it is. And they're now skirting that with Black Friday and the season opening game, which I guess the way they could do that is some kind of caveat because it's international and special and a one-off.
It's international waters, so you can't be arrested for it.
I'm not really sure.
It's wild, dude. It is wild. But, yeah, if the NFL wants it, the NFL gets it.
They want standalone games. That's what they want. We also have the continuation of app-only games. We got our first foray into that. Now, in the last calendar year, we saw the Peacock-only playoff game. Amazon will have an exclusive wild card broadcast this year. So Peacock's out in that regard. Although I believe the Eagles game that is going to be played in Brazil on a Friday is exclusive Peacock this year. So we'll have maybe two of those. But the Amazon exclusives are going to be wild card playoff games. But you already have Thursday Night Football on Amazon, so the vast majority of football fans won't have to worry about that.
So I can't remember exactly who had it. Maybe it's Sportico. If I got that wrong, I apologize. We basically said that as much as we griped and groused. I was trying to say two different words. I said one that combined them. As much as we got ticked off about how the app stuff didn't work in some of the cases, it was like a 60% retention rate for people that got the app just for the game that ended up keeping it over the course of the next weeks and months and year. So apps are going to be lining up to do this. The NFL can't wait to accept their money.
Joe Beninati joins us in 20 minutes, top of the hour, our third and final hint for Nats Who Am I. You guys are trying to win opening day Nats tickets. We are at the gala. They're getting ready to start walking the red carpet in the next few minutes out here at the Anthem. We're excited about that. Next on G&D, Dan Quinn spoke today. We'll tell you what he had to say. Also, the Nationals just made a curious roster decision that most of us didn't see coming. We'll get into that on the Fan.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Third and final hint. Nationals, who am I? Get your dialing fingers ready. I have made an opening day start. Who am I? 800-636-1067. Danny, you know who I am, right?
I know exactly who it is.
Very good.
I know who it is.
First caller in, MGM National Harbor listener lines right now, will be winning tickets to opening day 6 days from today over at Nationals Park, courtesy of the Washington Nationals. Nats opening day is April 1st. Pittsburgh Pirates in town. The first 20,000 fans are getting a reversible bucket hat. Pregame festivities include an appearance by the world-famous Budweiser Clydesdales, red carpet player intros, live music, face painters, balloon twisters, and more. All gates open at 2 p.m. Here was your roster nugget from this afternoon after the prospects game. Trey Lipscomb got sent down. Everyone started to think, including myself, he was going to make the roster as the opening day second baseman after he hit 400 in spring training. They tried to trade Luis Garcia, from what I'd heard. I don't think there was a whole lot of interest, presumably, but they weren't able to pull that off. And Garcia and Nassim Nunez were the couple of guys still in this organization, one of whom was going to have to be sent down to make room for Lipscomb. They would have lost Nunez because he's a Rule 5 draft pick. And so if you, quote-unquote, don't make the roster, then you go back to the Marlins. Garcia's got no options. You can't send him to the minors, so kind of a tough luck loss of a gig, if you will, for Lipscomb, who played his butt off in the spring.
Yeah, well, he did everything right. This
deserved to be on the team.
Yeah, no reflection on Lipscomb, I don't think. It's just, you know, bad luck and circumstance. You touched on all the reasons why. For the team's perspective, it's one of those things where you go, there's no harm for a team that's not necessarily ready to compete for a division in having one last shot for Luis Garcia. If you're fed up and you just don't want to watch him boot routine balls or swing it, you know, seven pitches in the dirt and strike out three times, you put bat to the ball pretty decently in spring training and well today. So there's still some potential. There's only 23 years old. So I get why you do it this way. And there's no rush necessarily for Lipscomb or some of his other prospects. Their day will come, and it won't be that long from now. But all he did was tear it up in spring training and look the part of an everyday big leaguer.
Yeah, today when they walk the red carpet with the big league team, some of those elite prospects you referenced are going to be here at the gala tonight. James Wood, who had a great spring, Dylan Cruz, the number two pick out of LSU among them. Wood's going to start at AAA. I'd imagine Lipscomb will as well. And Dylan Cruz is going to AA, it sounds like. So not that that matters a whole lot, because when he starts performing at AA, the Nats will have no trepidation about calling him up to the major leagues. But rather than having all those guys at the same minor league level, they are staggering it a little bit, which I'm surprised by. I thought maybe, you know, like they did last year with House, Cruz, Lipscomb, Wood, they'd all be part of the same lineup.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess they feel like in Wood's case and Lipscomb's case, maybe they're a little further along. Cruz, who was just drafted last summer, maybe you want him to earn it a little bit and show that he's stringing games together with multiple hits, hitting for average, and then you bump him up. But all of the guys, when you get to Double A, you know, that we're talking about right now,
yeah,
they're a phone call away, man. I mean, this could happen in May, June, first half this season. No one would be surprised. That's the fun thing about the system now. A year or two ago, we're talking about names who were at the low levels who were not going to play in 2023. That's not the case this year.
No.
You're going to see debuts for Wood, Lipscomb, as well as House, Cruz, and so many others like Cavalli and Rutledge who have debuted and they'll get more work this year.
It's nice to kind of like have that sort of milestone, you know, where, as you said, you could look back at a farm system ranking 2 years ago, 3 years ago, you're over the last handful of years, and you're going, oh, yeah, I guess we'll see Eric Fetty at some point. Like, it hasn't been exciting in some time. It is now. And, you know, it took a lot of work. It took some lumps and, you know, some trades. It's a pretty painful times. But they're climbing out right now. They're climbing out of that pit. And you can see the light at the end of the tunnel. It's not here yet, right? They're not going to be particularly good. this year. They are going to be competitive. They're going to play hard. That's been the DNA of this team under, you know, Mike Rizzo and Davey. You know they're going to do that, but they just don't have the horses just yet. But they're coming. They're on their way. You could start competing with some of the best teams in baseball here on a nightly basis within the next couple of seasons, which should be fun.
One of the few things that came out of Dan Quinn's press conference with reporters today, I thought, Danny, was him saying that he is really interested in continuing joint practices, which is good to hear.
Yep.
John Harbaugh yesterday in the AFC coaches meeting breakfast said that he hoped Washington would be would be willing to have them back and maybe vice versa do a split squad, so to speak, at both camps. Thought they got a lot out of that last year. Rivera, for some reason, I think Richmond made it really difficult because they couldn't trade off.
They could do a home and home.
With other teams.
Yeah.
But it was not a priority for him, or just it got really hard and he decided not to deal with it. But I think you get a lot out of those practices. You could dictate formations and situations and work on goal line, red zone, a bunch of things that you may not get to do in a preseason game. You might really want to see a certain player in a certain down and distance or in a certain game situation, and the game just doesn't get there, or you don't have that luxury. In a practice, you could dictate all of that. I thought they really benefited from practicing with the Ravens. We saw what it did for Sam Howell's confidence as he ended up having a banner exhibition game at home against Baltimore, starting the season hot. But it seems like, to me, they're going to try to run it back. Now, I'm sure there's some dots they got to cross and connect.
Yep.
But Dan Quinn did say that it is a priority for them to try to do that.
It's essential. You now have to do this just to keep up, right? You want to see a running back pick up a blitz. Well, let's do 25 of them. You want to see a defensive end or a left guard deal with a stunt. Or you want to see how a defensive tackle handles run plays to the edge. You get to run that as many times as you want. You don't have to just wait for the game situation and then get lucky if something dictates it. So it's absolutely the way teams are going. New England was doing this before it was cool. They had some analytics that said this is the smart way to go about it. Baltimore's always been on the cutting edge of that. It's now pretty much universal in the league where it was really widely accepted, and Bruce Allen was like, nah, that's not for us. We're not going to even worry about that, mostly because of the bad deal with Richmond. So now that everybody kind of understands, yes, how essential this is, because you don't play your players in the preseason anywhere near as much as guys used to historically, that's where the work comes in.
Grant and Danny with you on The Fan, live from the Anthem in the Brighton, out here at the Wharf, where it's just gorgeous. Beautiful day. It's gotten really comfortable.
Oh, it's so nice.
Sun's no longer beating down on us. It's behind clouds. It is perfect. A little moving air. Fans starting to line up along the red carpet as the Nats are getting ready to be introduced. I believe I heard players are going to start walking a little after 5:30. Next, we got Joe Beninati, Monumental Sports, joining us. He'll be on the call tonight of the Caps and the Red Wings, a 1-point discrepancy between the two teams fighting for a playoff spot in the standings. Potential 27 percentage point swing tonight in chances of making the playoffs. Huge game for the Caps. Joe B next, and a chance for you to win Caps tickets as soon as we return on Grant and Danny.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.